Decided to follow Jesus. I will follow though no one joins me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I will follow Jesus. What a tremendous song. And with this song, we're going to be doing something a little different than what we normally do. And I'm going to ask Travis, I have asked him, I should say, to come and give his testimony, and he promised he wouldn't speak over 3 hours. So I've given him free rein, so it's all yours.
Morning, church. My name is Travis Pollock. I'm Elspeth's husband, for those who don't know me. And last Sunday, Pastor asked me if I would be willing to share my testimony. And since my wife and I have been praying for God to use us, this seemed like a great opportunity to share what God's been doing in our life. I was hesitant at first, but then I remember we did pray about it, so we need to take the opportunity that God provides. So it always amazes me how when you ask Him to use you for His glory, opportunities present themselves. And I shouldn't be surprised by this. Scripture tells us in 1 John 5:14 that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. My testimony will be a little different from most today. I'll first share with you how I came to the Lord, but then I want to tell about what God's been doing in my life and my wife's life, and what that looks like in our day-to-day. Scripture tells us in Psalm 119:46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will tell of all your marvelous works. So let's boast about the Lord. Starting out my life, I grew up Catholic, which means I went to church once a year if I was with my grandparents. I believed in God and I believed in Jesus. But I didn't have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. All through grade school, I was a pretty bad student. I made awful grades. My test scores to get into college were awful. But God used these bad things for my good. Because of these bad grades and bad test scores, I was narrowed down to only a few choices for college, and one that had a flight school that I could get accepted into, and it was Heston College. Heston College is in Kansas, north of Wichita. It's a two-year Christian college, and it's operated by the Mennonites. I didn't know what a Mennonite was before I went to this college, but they accepted me and I wanted to fly, and so I went. A requirement of going to this college was that I had to take a biblical literature class at some point during my first year, and so I did that. When I took this class, this was the first time I really read the Bible and studied the Bible. During my second year at Heston, I was driving to the airport with my friend and fellow pilot, and he asked me if I thought I was going to heaven when I died. And I gave him the standard non-Christian answer that I suppose so, I've been good enough, I think I could get in. And that's when he shared the gospel with me and told me that I need to accept Jesus Christ into my life. So, September 2006, I asked the Lord to take control of my life and submitted everything to Him. After that, from 2006 to 2017, there were periods of small growth, and there were periods of large growth in my relationship with the Lord. But between 2018 and this year, 2020, some of the largest growth has happened in my life. A lot of that has to do with marrying my wife, Elsa, and striving for a God-centered marriage. What that looks like for us is that we pray together every morning and every night. We bring all of our decisions to the Lord in prayer, no matter how small or large they are. And we justify this because we feel that Scripture tells us that God wants to be involved in every little decision and aspect of our life. Now, here are just a few of the areas God has revealed Himself to me and where He has led me. First, understanding prophecy. Second, how to spread the good news. Third, how to worship and praise Him. And lastly, how to die to self. In the last half of 2019, Elsa and I started studying eschatology, which is the study of prophecy found in the Bible. Now there's 27% of the Bible is prophetic, which is a great cause in proving that the Bible is true. It's the only scripture or religious text that has prophecy that has come to fruition, which is how we know the Bible is true. I learned during this time that there's a difference between reading your Bible and studying your Bible. I learned two main things under this topic. I discovered more that the rapture of the church, or the harpazo as stated in Greek, could happen at any moment. As viewed through Paul's eyes in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Paul was with the Thessalonians for only 3 weeks and felt that prophecy and the topic of the rapture was important enough to teach them. And it's obvious from Paul's writings that the rapture could happen at any minute from his take. Next under this was grappling with the fact that hell is real and many people are heading there. I prayed to the Lord that hell would be more real to me so that I would be more motivated to tell others about Jesus. Up until this point, I hadn't really shared the gospel with anyone unless someone point blank asked me about it, and then I had the green light, and even then it was watered down. But this weight that the Lord weighed on me about the reality of hell and that a lot of people are heading there weighed heavy on me, which led me to my second point, how to spread the gospel. Towards the end of 2019, I shared the gospel with my dad. And this was an all-in maneuver on my part, as it were. My dad doesn't talk about deep items with me, and this topic that I struggled with sharing with him could have, in my mind, ended my relationship with my dad or severed the closeness that we had. But I pursued it. I love my dad, and I want him to go to heaven, and so I told him about the Lord. And I think this act showed God that I was serious in this area. Witness training class was coming up in February at our church. It's a class that teaches us how to present the gospel in an effective manner, something I never learned. But before this, in November, God told me not to take the promotion at work by upgrading to captain so that I could take this class. Now let me explain how God talks to me. God does not send an audible voice to me. What usually happens when I pray is that a thought will come into my mind that's contrary to my flesh nature. It makes me cringe, it makes me uncomfortable, but as long as it's centered on Scripture and God-centered, I interpret that as God speaking to me. And during this time, God told me to pass up upgrading to captain. Now, if you know from a worldly perspective, upgrading to captain is every pilot's dream at a major airline. It comes with great benefits, and you become the CEO of the operation. So from a worldly perspective, passing up on the upgrade didn't make any sense. I had to bite my pride because a lot of the captains I flew with had an expectation of me to take the first opportunity to upgrade. So doing this from a carnal standpoint was very foolish. And I told the Lord no in November. I told him no, I argued with him, and I told the Holy Spirit that I was not going to do that. That was ridiculous. After that, there was a weight and a heaviness that came upon me. As I prayed, I learned that I shouldn't tell the Lord no when he tells me to do something. And so Elsa and I prayed much about this, and we asked for that feeling, that thought, to come back. And God sent that thought back to us, and so I passed up upgrading to captain so that we could take this class. This class led Elsa and I to having confidence like never before, to have conversations with people about Jesus, conversations that we would never have. I've spoken much in the cockpit with captains about the Lord, something that's usually a no-no in the cockpit to talk about, but many people have been open to it, and I've been able to present the gospel in a manner that hasn't been boastful or attackful, and that has helped quite a bit with that. When we go on walks, Elsa and I will pray that God will open up opportunities to present the gospel with people, and frequently people will come up to us randomly and talk to us. We had someone try to buy drugs off of us on one of our walks, and he sat there for 30 minutes as we presented the gospel with him and listened to us and took a gospel track and went on his way. And so those things God provides when we pray for it and when we rely on him to provide the opportunity and try not to make things happen on our own. And looking back at passing up the upgrade opportunity, God saved me a lot of headache and heartache because the class that I would have upgraded in got demoted back down to first officers as this coronavirus took away. So the Lord provides even when it doesn't look like it would work out. The third point is how I learned to praise and worship God. And I know that's different for each person in this room. But for me, it was found in the Psalms. David was a great example to me on how to praise and worship our Lord and Savior. I didn't know how to do this. I didn't know how to praise the Lord. I didn't grow up in church, and it wasn't something I learned. But I've spent a lot of times in the Psalms. And in particular, Psalm 9, 1 through 2 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. And this is just one example, but the Psalms are full of these instructions on how to praise God. In my quiet time each morning, I try to read and pray a psalm as a way of praising our God. My fourth point is that the Lord's been teaching me to die to self. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The challenging thing on that was the pride of life. My job was the pride of my life. It really drove me to pursue at the manner that I did to get to where I was with my job. And I had to die to self, and passing up captain upgrade, in my mind, was dying to self, because that was my whole goal that I laid aside. During this study in 1 John and not loving in the world, I struggled with the topic of salvation and what that looked like in my life, how I should examine myself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. I spent a lot of time in the book of 1 John, and it's helped me in this. It's helped me understand what love truly is. That was another struggle of mine, is understanding what love truly is. I don't have fluffy, happy-go feelings when it comes to loving others, and that concerned me, because Scripture is full of how we should love our enemies, how we should love others. But what I discovered in studying 1 John and other portions of Scripture is love's not just a feeling, it's an action. And I never thought about it that way. But Scripture tells us these actions of love. Love is long-suffering. It is kind. It does not envy. It is not proud. It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It's not selfish. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices in truth. It does not like injustice. It bears all things, endures all things, believes and hopes. And this was a big growing area with me in my walk with the Lord. I had struggled with self-condemnation because I didn't feel like I loved anyone or loved things, because I didn't have feelings of love all the time. But when I learned this, that it was action, I could go back and evaluate myself and refer to Psalms 26 when it said, examine me, O Lord, and try my heart. Through my walk with God these last 2 years, 2 Corinthians 5:9 has become a heavy desire for me, more so than ever. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. And this gives us the boldness spoken of in 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In 1 John 2:18, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I hope this was encouraging to you, and maybe God said something through my testimony about him. God will use you if you're able and available. You have to be willing and open in those two areas, able and available. Our desire should be to bow before our Lord and Savior at the end of our walk and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for your time this morning.
You're giving me too much time left. We've heard the scripture readings. We've heard testimony from Travis and how God moves each one of us. As we look at the things God has told us, let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And we find that so true today. We can also look into Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with kindness, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." And God will draw us to himself as he drew Travis and as he enlightened him along the way. We find that there are many instances in life in which we can witness and testify of God's mercy and grace. We look at the United States and the world today, and we find that the United States is not the Christian nation that it once was. On the coins, we have "In God We Trust," and they have tried to take that off, and that was defeated. So instead of trying to keep everybody happy, they thought, they put it on the edge of the coin. Some of the coins, if you see, like your silver dollars, you would see "In God We Trust" on the edge of the coin. And they think, we're compromising, we're doing a good job. I think Travis would tell you, and he would tell all of us, you don't try and compromise with God. God says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." God says, when I speak, if you don't listen, what did he say? He had a heavy burden on his heart until he listened and he turned down the promotion. God sees the big picture. God's seen that he would be promoted and demoted. You know, some time ago when I spoke one time about the hardest no I had to say, and that was on flying. How I wanted to do it, and I had my license. And I had to say no. It's a struggle to have your physical want and your spiritual being fighting against each other. But may we pray that God's blessings and God's mercy would prevail. May we pray that if we are called God's children and this nation is called a Christian nation, that we would be willing to get down on our knees or beside our bed or wherever we are and pray, "Lord, we know we've sinned against you. We pray that you would make us a Christian nation again. Help us to live for you, and that you do have an everlasting love for us, because you do not want us to go to hell. You do not want us to be separated from you forever." And we find that over and over from the beginning of Scripture all the way through Revelation. One of the last verses in Revelation tells us, "Come, come and taste of the water freely. Come unto the Lord God, and he will direct your path." You see, I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me, but each one of us will stand before God. And I think Travis pointed that out very, very plainly. We must listen to God. And if we don't listen to God, he will withdraw from us, and we will be left by ourselves to fight Satan, and we cannot do that. We must return to the Lord. God says, return to me. Call upon me, and I will hear your prayer. And I will heal your land and heal your soul and heal you. Let us have that as our prayer. And as Travis said, listen to what God has to say to you. Because he's speaking to you as an individual. And he's speaking to you that you can go out and speak to others. And you may not do it all in words. You might do it in action. Have you ever had something happen and people seem perturbed and not knowing where to turn? And that's the way it is today in the world. And yet you go out and people will say, how is it you seem so peaceful? And this whole epidemic and this whole trouble going on doesn't seem to bother you. And the door is open for you to say, I have peace in Jesus because he gives me that peace. And praise the Lord, we can do that. Thank you, Travis, for your testimony. And thank you for leading us in those many things that we can do. We have hope in Christ. We have access to the throne of grace. And if we are obedient to God, he will help us. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd be with us and watch over us. Keep us, I pray, in your will and in your way. Help us to do your will, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn to hymn number 400.
Well, since everybody else gets to do something different, I'm going to too. Instead of playing this song, I think we're going to sing it a cappella. I was hoping Judy Lee was going to be here today to play this. But it's one of my favorite songs I discovered today. It's an old Swedish song, so it must be why I love it so much. But it's called I Look Not Back. And as we sing these words, I think you will see that it ties completely into what we've been